الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa and those listening over receivers, make dua Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give the himmat and the strength and the courage and the tawfiq to say something that will be beneficial to me and to you. The recitation of the surah does not mean that I will be making tafsir of that surah. The recitation of that surah has been for the purpose of its link with this subject matter that we are discussing. And that is the taking of the shape and the form of this baby in the mother's stomach, and on the other hand comparing it with, or the similarities that are there with that person who is making some kind of progress in this path of suluk. What are the similarities? So we have discussed over the two or three lessons this development that is taking place. Those people who are fathers, or those who are mothers, or those whose wives are expecting, they can relate to it. But the changes that are taking place, just to recap one or two changes before we go to tonight's continuation of the subject. We had discussed at the very moment that conception has taken place, then that filthy blood which is discharged every month, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala now causes a stop to that, and that becomes the ghiza and the food of that little baby that is now going to be formed in the mother's stomach. What a kudrat of Allah ta'ala. With what kind of material Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is creating. Allah ta'ala could have used zafran and could have used musk and could have used umber and could have used so many different fragrances for the liquid which was going to be used for the creation of this baby. But the material that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is using, if we go into the details, it is the lowest of the low material. And who is going to be created? The child that is going to come to you into this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala calls that insan. Insan is going to come into this world. Many have said that insan is from uns and muhabbat. So this insan that is going to come into this world, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala declares in this surah Wat-Teen that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created it from the best of all molds. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. From the best of molds, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala created this insan. Therefore, there is a very famous incident that has been mentioned, that there was a person by the name of Isa bin Musa Hashimi, and he was quite popular in the court of Jafar Mansur. So on one occasion, this Isa bin Musa who dearly loved his wife, they were sitting when there was a full moon shining brightly. And these two were sitting and looking at the full moon. And then this person made one stupid mistake. And he said that if you are not prettier than the moon, then 3 talaqs on you. Now the lesson for us is this talaq is a very, very dangerous bullet. Whether it is given in joke or whether it is given when a person is serious, in both conditions it leads to talaq. Person cannot say, I was just joking with my wife and I told her so many talaqs on you. There's no joke business when it comes to talaq. Just as there's no joke business when it comes to iman. A person cannot joke and say that I reject Islam, I reject deen, I reject iman, na'uzu billah. Or I reject belief in Allah Ta'ala's wahdaniyat, His oneness. I reject belief in the hereafter, in qiyamah, in Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam being rahmat, being khatamun nabiyyin, finality of prophethood. He can't say, I was joking. There's no question of joking business. Just like that, when it comes to talaq also, there's no joke business there. That I just gave a talaq light-heartedly. Whether it's light-hearted or heavy-hearted, talaq is talaq. If it was said clearly in those words, talaq, it was sarih. But if there was ambiguity, if the husband just said, take your bags and pack up and get out of the house, and he did not intend talaq. What he intended was just some kind of threat, or to tell her that we had enough now of our argument, so therefore take your bags and you go to your house. But it's not talaq that I intend, then there's no talaq. Now all those detailed masail you can find out from the muftis. Here what I am saying is that this person in that moment of excitement or in that love of his wife, he said that if you are not prettier than the moon, then 3 talaq, meaning that you are prettier than the moon. But that at the same time it could mean that the moon is far more beautiful. Where can his wife be more beautiful than the moon? So now he got worried. The wife also thought this was talaq, so she went away into another room. Then in the court of the king, the next day this issue came up again. So the king called all the muftis and everyone gave fatwa that the 3 talaqs are valid because the moon is definitely more beautiful than his wife. There was one shagird and student of Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he was sitting there one side very quiet. So they said, you also say something. He said, I give the ruling that it's not talaq. This is what I say always, that we must not run to conclusions. If there's a difference of opinion amongst the muftis of the time, then we who do not know much about fatwas and we do not know much about Quran and Sunnah and jurisprudence, then we mustn't start giving our input and say, in my opinion, what is our opinion? Do we have an in-depth knowledge? There can be a difference amongst them on some issue, as long as it is in the light of the Quran and Sunnah. Once we were sitting in a group of about 50, 60 ulama, or much more, it must have been about 100 ulama, in one country. And the time came for tea. When the time came for tea, so one alim said that my tea must be very hot. Somebody said, I drink cold tea. Somebody was asked how much sugar, he said 1 teaspoon. Somebody was asked how much sugar, he said 3 teaspoons. And another one, alim, said, go on putting the sugar until you get tired of putting sugar. His stomach must have been a sugar factory. Then when it came to the milk, someone was drinking tea, which if you had to look at, you would have said that he put 1 drop of milk, just to satisfy himself that there is also some milk in the tea. And somebody would have said that put 1/4 cup of milk, 3/4 cup of tea. And somebody asked for half. Different mizaj there was with regards to tea. And nobody fought with the other person, nobody argued, nobody criticized, nobody mocked and ridiculed. Every person was quite happy with his decision. and there was no rejection by anybody. So I stated, I said, the question of differences of opinion has been resolved. That the whole issue was around tea, the mazhab of tea. Now keep that in mind, this was the mazhab of tea. The tea drinker's mazhab, you can call it. So when it was the tea drinker's mazhab, in there were a lot of ikhtilafat, there means a lot of differences of opinion. But because it was all based on that cup of tea, so therefore there was no rejection by anybody. Because it was based on tea, we are not talking about something other than tea now. So if it is the Quran and Sunnah, and then we are talking about the mazahib, so then they've got the right. Somebody according to his knowledge and understanding, he will interpret or give a ruling different to another mujtahid or an imam. But it's all based on the Quran and Sunnah, where there is no clear-cut ruling. There's no nasa qat'i, as we call it. So now the ruling is given that if the person has to give talaq in this manner, it will be talaq. If he gives talaq in that manner, there will be no talaq. If the person has to say ambiguous words, then what will be the implication? All the different things that come up in different masail, it is because it is based on the Quran and Sunnah, and those people who are deferring, they are mujtahids of the time. They are great waliullahs. If you look Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah's life, look at his piety and taqwa. Look at Imam Shafi rahmatullah's piety and taqwa. Look at Imam Malik rahmatullah. The scorpion is stinging him. But because he's teaching Hadith Sharif, therefore there's no movement also. They can only make out from his facial expression that something is happening to him. Afterwards they realize that the scorpion had bitten him so many times. He wouldn't go out and use the toilets in Madina Sharif. He would go right out mountainside. Now these people were muttaqi also. They were great mujtahids, great imams. Now when they deferred, it was based on the Quran and Sunnah. Not like us that anything and everything, we got our own opinion. So I said to them that we have resolved that problem, that here that mazhab was of tea. So nobody said, no, you have to drink hot tea. Now you will be forced to put 5 teaspoons of sugar into your tea, whether you like it or not. Whether you got sugar diabetes or not, doesn't matter. But you have to take 6 teaspoons. Nobody argued. So this Mufti Sahib or this Imam Sahib, he said that talaq is not valid. There's no talaq. So the rest of them, they said that how can there be no talaq? The moon is definitely more beautiful than this wife, this person's wife. So these are the ayat that he then recited. Of what theme? Was zaytun, wa tur sinin, wa hadha al-balad al-amin. Laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsani taqweem. We created insan in the best of all moods. So if Allah Ta'ala is saying that, then definitely this person's wife is far more prettier than even the moon. Can be anything in this world, but if Allah Ta'ala is saying that man is the best, then he is the best. Finish. How beautifully Allah Ta'ala gets across this message to us. That if you have to look at this human being, look at what Allah Ta'ala has used in the creation of this human being. And what a kind of mold has been used. We have very powerful animals. The lion, the tiger, the cheetah, the huge elephants. But can they do calculations? Can they do addition, subtraction, multiplication? Has any accountant said that I need some help, so therefore I'll go to the Kruger National Park and engage some huge elephants to assist me and help me in this accounting business, because it's becoming too much of nerve-wracking now. Has anybody engaged any monkey? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given this insan ajeeb qualities. As I mentioned the other day, that if you take the tape recorders, what is the tape recorder? Or any recorder. That if the person coughs, it is recorded. If he sneezes, it is recorded. If he laughs, it is recorded. If this person says something of kufr, it is recorded. If he says something of iman and Islam, it is recorded. It just goes on recording and recording and recording. It does not differentiate between Iman and Kufr. It doesn't differentiate between Islam and Shirk. It doesn't differentiate between anything, that this was not to be recorded. The person coughed, he sneezed, is it something to be recorded? Now this person has to do all the pressing of the buttons and adjustments and everything, that insan will do it. Then all those things will be removed. Or beforehand he has to program it, that it must not record this and must not record that. Look at insan's aqal. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him such aqal, that if the person is doing a comparative study course, how much of differences between the other religions and that of Islam, but yet it is sifting it out, that this is kufr, this is shirk, this is Shiaism, this is Qadianism, this is that, and this is Islam, this is Iman. Allah Ta'ala's Qudra. Therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes all these qasams, wat-teen, wa-zaytoon, wa-tur-sineen, wa-haza-al-baladil-ameen. Then, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. So now we get back to our subject, otherwise we will continue. So we were discussing that that was the first change. Then of course the other changes we had discussed that starts taking place. And the changes are that now she suffers from some kind of morning sickness and some weakness and some pains. And that woman suffers from different kinds of injury. There are so many things that we discussed that this woman goes through during her pregnancy. And especially that morning sickness, which is a common feature. So I explained that in this life of this salik also, the person who is wanting Allah Ta'ala, after there has been this conception, the person in some majlis, some waaz, some nasihat, some reading of the Quran Sharif, some tafsir, some hadith Sharif, some jamaat, some majlis, something had an impact on the person's heart and he made a sincere and a firm niyat that he is not going to go back to those sins. So straight away there's a stoppage of those sins. Straight away the sins have stopped. Just like how that bad blood stopped, this person's sins stopped. But then thereafter this person also gets morning sickness. Shaitan becomes very irritated and agitated. So now he gives this person also pains and restlessness. And the person has palpitation. And sometimes it is indigestion. And sometimes it is the throwing out. And sometimes all the other kinds of noises that the shaitan and nafs makes, that your giving up of sins is causing me a lot of pain and suffering. But just like how that woman, if she is expecting a child after many, many years, then she doesn't abort that child just because of those pains and just because of those aches and just because of the hardships and difficulties that she experiences. She in fact looks forward to the coming of the child and she says, whatever happens, I will endure this pain because I am awaiting that bundle of joy, as they call it, coming into my hand. Because 20 years have gone and I haven't got a child. So no matter who comes and tells her that why must you take all this difficulty and hardship for nothing, you are enjoying good night's sleep, then why must you go through all this restlessness at night? Abort the child and finish, go to sleep. But she's not going to accept it. Because she knows what the end result is going to be. Like that, the salik also, he says that he knows what is going to be the end result. Because he has heard in many, many majalis, that the person who treads this path of suluk, who goes towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who suppresses his nafs and his evil desires, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give him or bless him with his ma'rifat, with yaqeen in him, with his qurb, with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's muhabbat and ishq. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned many places in the Quran Sharif on what he is going to give on this virtue of taqwa. Inna Allaha ma'al muttaqeen. Allah ta'ala is with those who got taqwa. And then, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will find a way out for that person in his problems and difficulties. and He will provide for him from sources that are unknown to him. And then so many other ayat of what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give on taqwa. So this person, he knows that this sickness that I am going through, like that woman, now all these difficulties, that pain, that suffering, that restlessness, that high, I wish I was there, I wish I could also go back to that zina dens, and I wish I could go back to those stadiums, and I wish I could go back to those clubs and discos, and now that person is taking the wounds on his heart. Daaghe hasrat se dil sajaye hai, tab kahi ja ke unko paaye. Daaghe hasrat se dil sajaye hai, tab kahi ja ke unko paaye hai. In haseenon se dil ko bachane mein, maine gham bhi bahut uthaye hai. Daaghe hasrat se dil sajaye hai. The decoration of my heart is daaghe hasrat. Like how a person decorates his room, he decorates his office, he decorates his lounge with different kinds of furniture and ornaments. The decoration of the heart of this salik is with daaghe hasrat. That people around him, and especially young people who are coming out of those vice dens and evils in their lives, now there's daaghe hasrat. Every time, hi, because he's in that company, he hasn't given up all those friends and all. So they are talking about those same things. They are telling him that, what are you enjoying in your life? We don't find any kind of enjoyment. We find nothing but boredom in your life. And he has to say that, I am enjoying this qurb of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. My heart is being decorated with daaghe hasrat, but the peace and the sukoon and the tranquility and the enjoyment and the sweetness that it is bringing into my heart, if only you had known, then you too would have been desirous of following my way of life now. But when that can happen is, first we must enjoy. If we are not enjoying ourselves that sweetness of iman and the yaqeen and qurb of Allah ta'ala and His muhabbat, and that daaghe hasrat is not giving us happiness and joy, we are in fact finding it very difficult, so therefore we too are looking for some way out in some privacy of a hotel room, or privacy of our own homes, or privacy of some other's office. The person quietly goes on to those same sites and goes on to those same evils, or goes and visits those same illicit beloveds and thinks that nobody has seen me and nobody has watched me. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Where can we hide from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Allah ta'ala is with us. He's watching. Don't think that we are escaping His sight. It is just His ihsan, His fazal, His kindness, His generosity and His tolerance that He does not seize us there and then. He gives us another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity. But then getting more and more opportunities must not make us go into a state of ghaflat and say that, since I am getting many, many opportunities and up till now nothing has happened to me, so therefore Allah Ta'ala is very pleased with me. That is the danger line. Because our lifestyles have become like the kuffar who used to say, bring the azab and show it to us if you say it is true. I'm talking about majority of the Muslims around the globe now. Unfortunately, our lifestyles are becoming like that. That when nasihats are made and nothing happens, then they say, what has happened? Nothing happened. See, we're still going to the discos and cinemas and stadiums and everywhere. Nothing happened. So bring the azab and show it to us. Sometimes you can make statements like that. So it's not in our hands to bring anything into this world. And we don't ask for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's azab. Our mashayikh, when they are advising us, when they're making nasihats and when they're warning, then at the same time in the late part of the night, they raise their hands before that same Allah. And they say, oh Allah, we warn, but we beg of you, we plead to you, don't send your azab. For we are the greatest of all sinners. Again, they take the whole blame upon themselves. And yet they are of the pious and righteous. And they beg Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not to send us out. That is the sifat of the mashayikh and awliya. So again, with their du'as and with the barakat of their tahajjud and their tawajjuh, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala saves. So the decoration of the hearts, that is what we are talking about, is with da've hasrat, high. And Allah ta'ala really loves that. When the young person does not indulge and engage in those sins, irrespective of what kind of taqaza there is and what kind of demand there is from his nafs. So we stopped somewhere around there. So despite these difficulties, with each passing day, the expectant mother's happiness and excitement increases over what is to come. And she bears the discomfort, ailment and hardship patiently, especially if she has waited many years for this baby. She is cautious and protective for the safety of her baby. Her gaze is on the priceless gift, the bundle of joy, which will be the fruit of all this labor. It is for this reason that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that such a woman receives the reward of one who worships Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala through the entire night, and one who fasts during the day. That's the kind of sawab she gets on all this hardship that she's enduring, the pain that she's taking, and also of the person that's participating in jihad in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Now, how much of rewards for that woman? But if she is maintaining and retaining her level of taqwa, nowadays that woman's, because of all her pains and sickness, now she knows she doesn't have to do anything, so then switch on the TV. When the baby comes into this world, again switch on the TV. And when the child starts walking, but now how to keep the child occupied, switch on the TV. I mentioned this before many times, and it is a true incident, there's absolutely not a word of lie. And the parent himself said that he must mention it so it can be an ibrat, and I mentioned it. So this child used to be all the time kept at the television just to keep it occupied. I happened to mention in that masjid of how these movies and programs affect the children, that sometimes little children also then want to kill the mother, shoot the father, or swear and kick and boot the parents after watching some programs. And that is a reality. There are many, many cases that are documented. From one cinema, a large number of people ran out spewing just after watching a certain scene. As far as music is concerned, by now it is common knowledge of what they have as backtracking. But we are not prepared to take any lessons. That's the sad part. So this child, only 4 years old. Now when the parent heard my bayan, after that the person came to me and said, "Molna, exactly what you said, so true. My child is only 4 years of age, but just to keep him occupied, because he's a troublesome child, so we kept the television on and keep him occupied, cartoons and other kinds of pictures and films. And so now this child, the parents, this is what they did. So there must be some kind of graduation then. After many years of hard work and effort and education, then there must be some graduation. So the graduation of this 4-year-old child, "Mommy, I will shoot you. I'll slaughter you. I'll hang you by your neck. I'll do this, I'll do that." Now when this child started graduating with these words, now they got the shock of their lives. "I'll hang you by the window, I'll slaughter you, I'll shoot you, I'll do this, I'll do that." One young person, there are few incidents of this nature, but this particular one, he says, immediately after watching a film, the strong desire came in his heart that he must go and shoot his mother and father. Strong desire. So he went and took the gun, and he opened the door at night, and he says, "One of your bayans just flashed across my mind." And he says, "I don't come regularly to your program. Just one day somehow I happened to pop in there. And that bayan, something flashed across my mind. I put my gun back. And that was the end of my TV habit." Now what if this person had shot his parents? But the parents are not interested. We must have our enjoyment. Until it does not hit very hard, we don't take any lessons. But we make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, protect our children and everybody's children from these kind of actions. So it is on this great hardship and sacrifice that Sharia awards the mother these great gifts. In the same way, due to this seed of taqwa, changes are automatically witnessed. In this new journey, the salik begins treading the path of suluk, desirous of winning the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I explained to you last week that on the outside also you will notice changes. Changes taking place. That person now keeps a beard, his pant is above the ankles. He is making salat 5 times a day. He is giving zakat if it was due. He is fasting if it was month of Ramadan. And this person now is fulfilling the rights of the parents. He was very, very disobedient, but now the changes came. Now he's suddenly telling the parents, make me maaf for whatever I have done. It was my mistake. I now realize that in my obedience to you, my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become pleased. And he will give me the best of dunya also and the best of akhirat also. So this change is coming there. His character is changing. His talk is changing. His walk is changing. Now you can see that some kind of taqwa is developing. Just like the child, how the changes are now taking place in the mother's stomach. I mentioned yesterday in informal majlis or day before yesterday. There are many people who are very sincere and very desirous of gaining some kind of closeness of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but become very disappointed when people make a mockery of them and they say that, for example, if it's a girl, they say, you're wearing niqab and hijab, but look at your character, look at this, look at that. And if it's a boy, they say, look at the changes of which are all zahiri and superficial, you just got some beard and you just got some kurta. But where are all the changes that are required in your character and your akhlaq? So they become disappointed. They say, there's no need for such people to get disappointed. First, acknowledge the mistake. That is where our weakness is. We must acknowledge the mistake. We must acknowledge the mistake. Say, yes, indeed, you are right. I've got a long way to go. I haven't become a waliullah. I have taken that path and I want to. I'm desirous of becoming Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's wali and friend. But at present, I'm far, far away from it. So I'm grateful to you that you are pointing out my weaknesses and mistakes. Instead of getting angry and taking off with that person, rather acknowledge the mistake, say, indeed, finish. Then what is he going to argue with you? Say, you have only found a few mistakes in my life. I've got many more which you do not even know of. One person wrote to me, well, now you are this and you are that and you're associating with Batil and you this and I don't know what he wrote. So I replied and responded because as an alim, I said, what you have found in me is only a few mistakes. I've got so many more which you do not even know of. I ask Allah Ta'ala to protect and conceal. But if you do come to know, then please inform me so that I can rectify and amend and put right also those actions. Finish. That's the end of the argument. So acknowledge it that indeed, and if you know that it is not in you, those weaknesses are not in you, it is just for the sake of criticism, then nothing. Just say it like that and finish. Leave it to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Our relationship must be excellent between us and Allah ta'ala. If everybody calls us bad, but we are good, then it doesn't make us bad. And if everybody calls us good, but we are bad, then it doesn't make us good. We must also remember that. That if the whole world says, MashaAllah, you are the greatest wali and the kutub and the horse of the time, in the meantime, we know that our actions of zina and of adultery and fornication and watching haram on the TVs and movies and other things, then don't get carried away by those beautiful words of praises by somebody just looking at our zahir and our walk, that, oh, this person must be a very pious person. We must acknowledge our weakness. So everybody calling us bad does not make us bad. And everybody calling us good, if we are bad, it doesn't make us good. So after that, then look at our own lives. Look at our lives 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, and compare it. Then we will find some difference. If the person has had the sohbat of the awliya-i-kiram, of the mashayikh, of the pious and the righteous, of the ulama-i-haq, of the walis of the time, if he has had some kind of sohbat, kisi ahle dil ki sohbat jo mili kisi ko akhtar, usse aa gaya hai jeena, usse aa gaya hai marna. So if he has had that, then inshallah you will see that some changes have come. 50% sometimes, sometimes 60%, sometimes 30%, depending on his effort that he has put in. So now will we say, no, it's just like that baby, that if it has been formed 30%, so now will the mother say, it's only been formed 30%, how long can I wait now? So therefore abort. Then if the baby is formed 60%, it's only 60% after so many months, so therefore abort it. She knows that something is happening, is developing, it's going to take time, it will be 9 months before she gives birth. So like that this salik also, he must continue with the effort. The zahiri child takes 9 months to come into this world. How much more effort is required for the batin to come right? So that taqwa baby that is developing sometimes, it takes a long period of time. Because here everything is happening automatically. That is the difference between the two babies. That as far as this baby is concerned, which is being formed in the mother's stomach, there is absolutely nothing that the mother is really doing. That the mother every now and again put her hands inside and put some eyes there and fit some ears there and put some heart, liver and lungs there. She goes to some bazaar and marketplace and purchase and then go and fit it in. Nothing. Everything is happening automatically, automatically. Look at Allah Ta'ala's ihsan. Priceless, priceless eyes, ears, heart, liver, lungs, Allah Ta'ala is connecting, giving now. Priceless. You can't put a price tag on it. The person is already a multi-millionaire just with those parts of the body that Allah Ta'ala has already given him. He's a multi-millionaire. Just his brains, tell any person, give your brains, I'll pay you 100,000, 1 million, 10 million. Only your brains. Will anybody give it? Will any person prefer to remain in the madhouse by just selling his brain? So they're priceless. One time we went for Umrah, we had about one dozen people, all were wifeless. They had their wives here at home, but they accompanied and they left their wives behind. And some were not married. So I said, all of you who are with me at present are wifeless. But don't let your Umrah and your Ziyarat be lifeless. Even though you are wifeless at present, but don't let your Umrah, Ziyarat be lifeless. Let the ruh and the soul be there. So like that in the body of the, in the stomach of the mother, all these changes are just taking place automatically. They're all taking place automatically. But when it comes to the salik, it's not automatic. Like how this person's all parts of the body got just fitted in the mother's stomach automatic. But this salik is not automatic. He has to make an effort. It's not that tomorrow morning's Fajr Namaz, automatically you will get up and automatically you will make wuzu and automatically then you will move to the masjid. Like one scientist, he said that everything is automatic. So he was arguing with those poor people of the village that everything is automatic. So one of the old men who had his walking stick, he took the stick and gave it to him on his head. So this person starts screaming. So why are you screaming? He said, because you're beating me up with the stick. He said, that's automatic. Just now you're talking, everything in this world happens automatic. The world came into existence automatic. So the stick of mine also picked up automatic. And it targeted your head automatic. And landed on your head couple of times automatic. So all those things happen automatic in the stomach. But when it comes to the salik, there's an effort that he has to make. He'll have to put his alarm if he can't get up without alarm. You will have to tell people, please phone me, ring me, shake me up, do something. Do something to get me up because I sleep like a log. The same when it comes to zakat, he has to take out the money and give. When he's fasting, he has to be conscious that I'm fasting now from dawn to sunset. Fulfillment of the rights of people, the akhlaq, the muasharat, everything, there has to be an effort that has to be put into it. And that is how it's going to be formed. His taqwa level will increase as he is fulfilling all these needs and all these requirements of taqwa. But it's not going to be automatic. However, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for the person when he keeps on making the right effort, then Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for the person. I thought we will make some progress, but looks like this baby is taking a bit of time to progress. So we'll leave us for him there and we'll carry on inshallah. But this is the lesson that we take. That there will be this squeal and squeak and morning sickness and evening weakness and everything else taking place. But we must stay steadfast. Be firm. Allah Ta'ala has given us the ability. If it was not possible, Allah Ta'ala would not have made taqwa farz. And those accidental weaknesses and mistakes and errors, like how that pregnant mother also makes a lot of mistakes and errors. Sometimes she eats the wrong food. Sometimes she went for one dawat and she was tempted also to eat those same types of foods that were there, which others were enjoying, but the doctor had said that in her case she must avoid those foods. So she makes mistakes. Sometimes some other mistakes she makes. So then how she remedies it? In the same way, the salik also, accidental errors, mistakes, then all of tawbah is istighfar. So then that baby of taqwa will still progress. And as it develops, the person will realize that changes are taking place. He will sense it, he will feel it, he will experience it. It's an experience. We can't explain it in words. Until slowly, slowly, if Allah Ta'ala wills, and it's not impossible, then he could become the Jalaluddin Rumi of the time, where he can also say that when the fragrance of the muhabbat of Allah comes into my heart, then the vocabulary of the languages of the world fail to give a description to that experience. Then sinners like us, after some time, we can reach that stage. None of us must think that we have reached that stage already. We are far, far away from it. But it must not be considered as an impossible thing. It is something that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives, depending on our sincerity. Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai. आशिकों का मीना और जाम है अल्लाह जल्ल जलालुहू अल्लाह 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 Allah, 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 Allah. गर्चे पुर खता है पर कहां जाए तेरा बंदा तेरे दर पर तेरा बंदा व उम्मीद है करम आया الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين يا رب كريم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما خطاؤں کو معاف فرما لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما forgive our major sins and minor sins sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of night Forgive us, our parents, our wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members, Ummat of Nabiyya Paak, sallallahu Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azabanna. Rabbana, 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 ya Rabbana. لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا
ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين.
My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Keep us steadfast on deen and sharia. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the muhabbat of Nabiya Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make each and every one of us, my beloved Allah, your walis. Bless us with those hearts that you give to the awliya-i siddiqi. We know our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our faults. But my beloved Allah, you are Rahim, you are Kareem, you are Satta, you are Waqfar. My beloved Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and akhirah. Don't deprive us of the goodness of this world and the goodness of the hereafter. Make our businesses full of barakat, our homes full of barakat, our lives full of barakat, our time full of barakat. Make us yours and become ours. They're extremely weak, my Allah. Those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. We are physically sick, we are spiritually sick. Give us shifa from all our ailments, sicknesses and diseases. Those who are weak, give them strength. Those who are in difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering, remove the difficulties. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Those whose children have gone on to drinks and drugs and wine and women. Ya Allah, bring them back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ya Rabbi Kareem, they are our children. Whoever's children they may be, they are Muslim children, they are our children. Ay Rabbi Kareem, bring them back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. Give them enjoyment, my beloved Allah, in Deen, in Quran, in Sunnah. Give the parents the tawfiq to remove from their lives and homes all those things that's causing so much of corruption. Ay Rabbi Kareem, bless us with the best of both worlds. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram. Jab maut ka waqt aaye to madina koi jawab nahi. Salamati hai din aur iman ke. Shahadat ki maut naseeb farma. Tawanna hai ke gulzar hai madina ab watan hoga. Wahan ke gulshanon mein koi apna bhi jamaa. بسر رب زندگی اپنی دیار قدس میں ہوتی وہی جیتا وہی مرتا وہی گور و کفن ہوتا. If it is not destined wherever it may be that you're in a state that you are pleased with us. حرام موت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. Protect us my Allah from حرام. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater, porn site of the internet. Any kind of haram. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he begged for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Our parents, wives and children and the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, bless them with all their goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption, fitnas, and especially that of Dajjal that he asked for protection from, protect us and the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hamari duaon ko Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam ke sadqe mein qubool. Hum jaise bhi hai qubool. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khair khalqihi sayyidina. ولد وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه برحمتك يا